WFMU, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, good set so far.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Don't know about that Stone song, but everything else has been right in the ballpark.
You mean Jigsaw Puzzle?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with Jigsaw Puzzle?
Well, I guess I'm taken back to the time that I saw them in 69. My dad took me to that show in Detroit.
Wow, you saw the Stones in 69?
Yep, Detroit.
Wow, that must have been pretty awesome.
Kind of boring. Not really my thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Pardon me?
How old are you? I mean, you saw them back in 69?
Yeah, I'm 42.
Wow, so you were pretty young when you saw them. I mean, even being 42...
Yeah, I was 10. Them,
wow.
I was 10 years old. And actually, I was 11 for that. I was 10 when I saw a much better show, also in Detroit.
Uh-huh. What show was that?
Well, it was at the Michigan Union Ballroom in Ann Arbor.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget it. September 22nd, 1968.
And what show was that?
Stooges and the MC5.
You actually saw the Stooges and the MC5? How old were you?
I was 10.
My God.
That was more my thing. I really kind of hooked into that way more than the Stones. The Stones were so bloated by that point, you know, when I saw them on that tour.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But that Stooges show, Jim was on, I'll tell you. I mean, I've seen him many more times after that, but he really had it that night.
Who was on?
Jim.
Who's Jim?
Oh, you know him as Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do know him as Iggy Pop, not Jim Osterberg.
Yeah, well, I used to go over and hang out at the house, too, when I was around 11.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at their house. It was pretty cool. You know, just part of the education.
It's pretty amazing. You had a pretty early start on rock music. I guess a lot of people, you know, the Stooges and the MC5 and that stuff doesn't come until, like, down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people just don't get it. You know, I got it really early. What was your first show, the first one you saw?
Huh. First show I saw, I guess mine would be like at an amusement park, like Great Adventure, probably like Dr. Hook or something like that, you know?
Oh, really? Wow.
Why? Yeah. What was your first concert?
My first one was the Beatles.
Your first concert was the Beatles?
Yeah, I was 6.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my dad took me.
Uh-huh. And how was that?
That must have been awesome. I'd probably compare it to the Stone show, but like a little, God, I want to say even a little more boring. I mean, it was just, you know, it was those guys in their suits and, you know, just jumping up and down. I just saw right through it. It was just, I don't know. I just felt like it was really goofy.
And how old were you at this point?
6.
And at six, you already thought the Beatles were kind of bloated?
Well, yeah. I mean, I heard those records. You know, my dad had those records. And it was nice ear candy, you know?
Ear candy?
Yeah.
Wow. You're pretty harsh on this. I'm amazed that a six-year-old would have that kind of, like, critical ear.
You know, I had a radio show, too, in Ann Arbor.
When was that?
That was, what year was that? I was 15, so... That was 91.7, the college station.
How'd you get a radio show at 15?
Well, you know, I was listening to the station there, and it was just garbage that they were playing. I just actually just marched over there, and I said to the program director, I said, you got to get this station out of the Stone Age. You know, they were playing The Dead and Iron Butterfly, if you can believe that.
Uh-huh. So you made a statement, and...
I said, look, I can make you guys a force, you know, and... I started playing, you know, the stuff that I loved forever, you know, like I was always a huge Velvets fan.
You were always a huge Velvets fan?
Yeah, that was the first record I bought. What was the first one you bought?
Probably like like an Earth, Wind, and Fire single or something like that.
Really? You're kidding.
Or maybe, you know, like Elton John or Neil Sedaka.
Hilarious. Wow, that's great.
And your first record was The Velvet Underground.
Yeah, the first one, yeah. I got it in 68.
Wow, so you actually got it like in a... Oh, my...
Yeah, I got the peel off. It's pretty cool.
Wow,
yeah.
So you...
Oh, man, I hate that I was not at that show, that first show in Summit. That's one of my big life regrets.
Is it what? You weren't at the first Velvet Underground show?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that still hurts me.
But, I mean, you saw, you know... Some pretty impressive bands at a pretty early age.
Well, yeah. Hey, I'll tell you another show that I saw.
This is pretty interesting. I mean, you for a guy in his early 40s, you're pretty, you've been there.
Oh, yeah. I used to see these great shows at the West Park Band Shell also in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Funkadelic, MC5, Prime Movers, Alice Cooper Band, before they stunk.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and there was this great, actually it wasn't a great show, it was kind of a cool event. It was the 1973 Rock Writers Convention in Memphis.
Yeah, like the famous, that's like the famous, the rock, the one where Big Star played?
Yeah, I was actually the guy that got them back together.
You got Big Star back together.
Yeah, they kind of split up after after the first record.
Yeah.
And I was a big champion of their of that record on the station.
So you were a big Star fan with number one record.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Before Radio City.
Yep. So this this convention was coming up, and you know, I had a zine at that point, so I was raring to go down there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My zine was called The Gift.
I guess after the Velvet song.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. Had some good stuff in there. I had a great, oh, God, it was like a 30-page interview with Cale.
Uh-huh.
Got some good stuff from Danny Fields, too. So anyway, we go down to Memphis for the show, you know, and I had actually called up Jody and Alex and said, hey, why don't you guys get back together? You know, I think some people might get turned on to your stuff, you know, because that first record kind of slipped through the cracks. I mean, of course, I was into it, but, you know, not so many others were.
Yeah, of course.
But that was a pretty cool trip. You know, got to see a lot of cool stuff there. Not that Memphis soul stuff like Stax. You know, that's kind of junior varsity soul. You know, I think everybody knows that. Like Rufus Thomas and the Barquets and Booker T and that stuff. David Porter. You know, the real stuff was actually going on in Jonesboro and Nathan, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I hitchhiked over there. It was great. I got to see Ronnie Randolph, Blaze Newsome and the Serpents, Claudine Osborne. It was great stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm not as schooled on this kind of, you know, that genre.
So you got nothing from Candle Records there?
I'm sure there probably is. It's just my personal knowledge doesn't reach out that far.
That's your loss, though.
I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to my radio show that I had, I was really turning on Ann Arbor to some great stuff.
Like what kind of stuff?
Oh, geez. Like I said, the Velvets and some of the cooler reggae stuff, Errol Dunkley, Horace Andy, but, you know, a lot of the obvious stuff, too. Max Romeo, Pioneers, the Upsetters, cool blues stuff, Skip James, Charlie Patton, heavier stuff, you know, early Sabbath. Also some cooler jazz things, you know, Bitches Brew, Monk, Train. You know, basically just trying to educate people, you know.
So you took your show as a chance to like, turn people on to good music.
More, like I said, educate people. That's sort of what I do, and I'm still doing that now, you know, in life. You know, then got kind of bored in Detroit. And headed out to NYC.
Okay,
this is like 1974.
So you moved out. You left your hometown behind. And so how was?
Oh, it was an exciting time in NYC. You know, got to see the Ramones many times, and you know, I'll always have a soft spot for Doug.
Who's Doug?
Oh, you know him as D.D. Ramone.
Yeah, I guess I know him as D.D. Ramone.
Yeah. I mean, you probably don't know him like I did. But
no, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I know his music. But
anyway, Dead Boys, you know, they were great. And I was actually pretty close with Gene, too.
Who's Gene?
Oh, you know him as Cheetah Chrome.
Yes, I do know him as Cheetah Chrome.
Yeah.
So you really made the scene in New York pretty
well. Oh, well, you know, I mean, everybody kind of made the scene, but it was just unusual to see a guy that was so young there, you know, and just so I got, you know, I was 16, 17, 18 at this point. I will never forget the first time I met Rich Myers, and, you know, he was wearing a shirt with his sleeves cut off.
Who did you meet?
Rich Myers. I'm sorry, Richard Hell.
Okay,
yeah,
so you met Richard Hell.
So he had this shirt that was, he had the sleeves torn off.
Uh-huh.
I thought, man, this guy's ripping me off, you know, because I was wearing the sleeveless dress shirt, you know, the shirt with no sleeves for a couple years before that. You know who I also used to love to hang out with and go out to dinner with?
Who's that?
Eric and Christy from the Cramps.
I know the Cramps.
Lux and Ivy to you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Very down to earth.
You really are pretty. Did people look at you as like a prodigy, or
have you seen that movie Almost Famous?
Yeah, I did see Almost Famous.
Oh yeah, I was actually sort of like the kid in the movie.
Uh huh.
But 1,000 times more knowledgeable and with about 1,000 times better taste.
So I guess you were cooler than.
Well, that kid, the kid that's actually based on.
Yeah.
He was at the 73 Rock Writers show. I'm not even going to say his name. I had to tell him the difference between a guitar and a bass guitar.
Wow.
What's worse?
Yeah.
I actually thought Big Star kind of sucked that night. I was kind of embarrassed to have instigated the whole thing.
But the funny thing is, I guess the legend has it that people got very, people got very excited about them playing that.
Well, yeah, some of the people that had never heard the stuff, or the demos.
The demos?
Yeah.
You've
never heard that stuff, yeah.
The Big Star demos now?
Well, there's that, and there's also, the Ice Water tapes.
Who's Ice Water?
That was before Big Star. That was Chris's band. Oh, you don't have that stuff there?
No, I don't have the Ice Water demos handy.
Wow. Look into it. You should check it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I guess you had it back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, of course I did.
Of course you did, yeah. So you really take a lot of pride in your, in your place in the music underground, it seems.
Well, like I said, it's all about educating people. And some people are very reluctant to give it a listen, and you just got to kind of shake them up and just say, like I'm doing to you now, I'm turning you on to things that you didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm. Like Ice House demos.
It's not Ice House, it's Ice Water.
Okay. Ice Water.
Yeah, yeah.
You're turning me on to Ice Water demos.
Have you ever heard Mauve?
Who?
Mauve.
No, who's that?
Oh, great psych band from Glasgow, late 60s. Never heard that, really?
Really? No, I don't know Mauve.
Huh. Well, getting back to New York, by like 78, 79, it just wasn't doing it for me,
Mm-hmm.
I was working at record stores, Vinyl Fetish on 6th, Cellar Records on 3rd, all over the place. I actually wrote a little bit for Eddie and John.
Who are Eddie and John?
Eddie, you might know as Legs McNeil.
Okay,
John Holmstrom.
Okay.
Yeah, Punk Magazine.
Yeah,
kind of goofy. Just wasn't really up my alley. I just thought it was kind of like the equivalent to Mad Magazine, like, hey Lou Reed, what kind of hamburgers do you like? That sort of thing. I just thought it was kind of weak, So I brought back The Gift,
which was your
my old zine.
Yeah,
yeah. But this time I called it Deadlock.
Why would you call it Deadlock?
Oh,
I honestly don't know.
It's a song off Can's soundtrack album.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't know the title of that.
Huh, well. Well, I still liked a lot of that stuff that was going on in New York City. Talking Heads were good before they recorded. Same with Blondie, they were like the Archies, but really campy, And Tom Miller's band was good, too.
Which band was that?
Tom Miller. I'm sorry, Tom Verlaine.
Okay, so yeah. Television.
I actually saw the Pistols. I went to see the Pistols down in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
First show of the tour.
How was that?
Oh, John was insane that night.
Johnny Rotten.
No, John Ritchie. Sid.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I thought, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's probably how you know him.
Yeah, I forgot his real name was John, what is it, John Ritchie? I guess I automatically
assumed.
Oh, that's
right. The singer was Johnny, yes.
Yeah, automatically assumed that you were talking about the singer.
See, I just call him Lydon.
So you said, like, around the 70s, you were kind of...
Yeah, 78, 79, just kind of getting tired of rock, and there was really, nothing worth writing about, really. I mean, 79, 80, London Calling? I mean, come on. That smacked of desperation.
Really? I mean, I was a fan of the album, London Calling.
That doesn't surprise me. So I just kind of like just hanging out for a while. And then when I was 23, I opened up a store in Newbridge.
Okay.
New Jersey, just selling everything that was good, pretty much. Our motto was actually the store that educates.
What was the name of the store?
I was going to call it Bitter Music, which you know where that comes from.
I honestly, it's escaping me.
Oh, well, it's a Harry Parch piece.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not...
Anyway, a friend of mine thought that would be too obscure, pure reference, and he thought that would turn people off, and they just wouldn't even know what we sold there. So I decided on something that everybody could recognize, you know. So I went with Heliocentric Records.
Which is... Again, you're losing me here.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's a Sun Ra reference.
Okay, all right.
Heliocentric Worlds of Sun Ra, Volume 1.
Yeah, okay.
So we carried all the, standard good stuff. You know, a lot of Ethiopian 70s groove vinyl, a lot of the cooler Euro Prague, Samla, Mamas Mana, great Swedish group, and Inslensky, of course, from Iceland. I will go on record as saying that we had the best selection of Greek Rumbretica 78s in North America.
But this was, you said, pretty standard stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, any good store would sell this stuff. But we also carried a lot of stuff for teeny boppers, like Residence, Kraftwerk, The Fall, stuff like that.
For teeny boppers?
The stuff that the kids buy, and that kind of keeps the store going, and then you're able to stock the stuff with the cooler stuff, the more important stuff, the stuff that educates.
Uh-huh. So you really take that educational mantle pretty... You take that pretty seriously.
I do, and I think you should also. That's why I was a bit disappointed hearing the Rolling Stones and some of that stuff like the Woggles, Why not play a Monkees song?
I mean, I've played the Monkees before on my show.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
The
closest I get to that is probably First National Band.
Uh-huh.
And that is pushing it.
The Mike Nesmith.
Anyway, getting back to the store,
business
was booming.
Really?
For 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Then it slacked off. And for the longest time, I could not figure out why. Until I read an editorial by the music editor of the local weekly. It was called The Independent, this free rag.
Mm-hmm. And how did that affect your sales?
His editorial was about snobbery and music.
Okay.
And he singled my store out.
For snobbery and music?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that's not... I mean, you are kind of a snob.
I'm not a snob. That's like calling your teacher a snob. Because he wants to impart his wisdom.
See, but it's the tone, I think.
In his editorial, he goes on about the fact that he was in the store one day, and this kid came in wearing a Black Flag shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the kid not to waste his time looking, because we had nothing in the store for him.
Okay.
He also said I reduced a woman to tears because she expressed interest in the band X.
And what, they were not up to your...
Well... Same thing, like the demos, the records,
I mean, a lot of people like those records.
Oh, I know, but, to the discriminating ear, it's just, it's like the Beatles, it's like ear candy,
So those first X records to you are like ear candy.
We got X, in one hand, and we got the Bay City Rollers in the other hand. Is there much of a difference?
I think there's a difference.
Well, it's guitar pop.
Well, so your ear, by the, it seems like your ear is pretty developed or snobby. I mean, it's like
he went on to say that I laughed him out of the store.
Uh huh.
How did you laugh him out of the store? Well, here's what I say: I can't help it if somebody has never heard of Conrad Schnitzler or Stockhausen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, but it's also people. Not everybody can be at the same point. I mean, you are like the coolest guy ever. I mean, who saw the Beatles when they were, before they were? Who saw the Beatles? Period. Let alone saw them when they were so young.
Me.
Yeah. Well, besides you, I mean, you have to realize that you might be in a different place than a lot of people.
Well. I've been told that, and that's probably true. But anyway, I mean, this guy had no business writing this. And, I lost a huge amount of sales. Business was down by 80%. people were essentially afraid to come in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I wrote in the a letter to the editor. You know, I fired one back. I said, look, if you don't have the guts to come in and say, I don't know anything about good music, show me what is good, then you don't deserve to shop at my store.
I mean, that's harsh. I mean, you could agree that's harsh, right?
I think that's straight shooting. I mean, someone has just got to take the world by the collar and say, come on, everybody. I mean, here's the stuff. This is the stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to belittle people to do it, though.
Oh, I don't think I'm belittling. I'm just, you know, I have a very low threshold.
You're trying to make the guy come in and say, I know nothing.
Well.
As what you're forcing him to admit. Come in and say, I know nothing. I mean, I think that's kind of belittling.
Well, you know, you've just described everybody in not only in Newbridge, but most of New York. But, you know, so then I started doing mostly mail order.
Okay.
But that got boring after a few years, you know. I mean, there's only so much excitement to packing up Amon Duel and Musique Concrète albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to move on. I still kind of stayed in Newbridge, but I basically just kept to myself in my basement apartment. And, geez, by 89, I was only listening to Bernhard Gluckman.
So rock had just run its course for you,
yeah.
I guess?
Oh, totally, totally.
I mean, did bands like in the 80s, none of them had any effect? Like,
Well, name some.
Husker Du?
You know, I mean, guitar pop.
Guitar pop?
Yeah.
Even, like, early stuff?
You know, Landspeed Record, that's probably their best work, I would say. That's the pinnacle as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And, you know, but that's like...
How about, like, Black Flag? Like, a band like that didn't excite... Coming out of, like, the whole punk movement, a band like that,
well, you know,
you don't look at that as exciting?
I'd already seen it. I was hanging out with Jeff and Doug and John and you know, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Who's Jeff?
Jeff Hyman. You know him as Joey Ramone.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I saw all that stuff the first time, and, okay, you're speeding it up, and you're a little angrier, you know. First Flag single, that's passable.
Oh, it's passable. So yeah. Early Black Flag gets a passing grade from you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a C-. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Most of that SST stuff was just kind of, you know, mostly miss, you know. I didn't...
Mostly what? You said it was mostly what?
Mostly miss, you know, in terms of hit or miss.
Oh, okay.
I did give a second listen to Looser Than Clams by Zug Zrift. That was okay. I liked a little bit of, just uh-huh, because of you know, how just kind of out there it was. You know, but stuff like Meat Puppets, and, I mean, what's the difference between that and, like, you know, Hotel California?
Well, I think there's a definite difference between the Meat Puppets and, like, late period Eagles.
Well, probably to the non-discriminating ear, I would probably agree.
Oh, so you mean if you could possibly lower your standards?
Right, which I'm not and have never been willing to do.
So you are honestly that arrogant about this?
Oh, I'm not arrogant at all. I'm very truthful about it.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of people can hear a definite difference between the Meat Puppets and Eagles. I mean, I think...
Well, you know, that fake kind of country, you know, rock sort of stuff. What was that record? Up on the Sun, you know?
Uh-huh.
Up on the Sun, right in the garbage can. I wouldn't even accept the promo.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would disagree with you.
Well, a lot of people buy a lot of crappy records, you know. A lot of people buy Dixie Chicks records. You know, that's the same ballpark as far as I'm concerned.
So you really got out of it, though. That music just, you were listening to stuff that was just out of the rock genre completely at that point, I guess.
Yeah, Gluckman.
Okay. I mean, so what leads you to, you know, to listen to WFMU tonight? I mean, I'm not playing anything like Gluckman.
Oh, you should. I mean, have you heard the stuff?
No, I'm not, again, I'm not familiar with...
you've heard of sound collages, right, and sound sculptures.
Uh-huh.
Bernhard, he actually took the concept of sound sculptures and soundscapes and just stripped away all the superfluous edges and items. And basically what he did was he left it with the absolute bare essential.
Okay, so...
Which was basically air.
Uh-huh.
He made air mixes. Have you ever heard 45 minutes of just silence?
No.
Oh, my God, you haven't lived. You got no business being on the radio.
I have no business being on the radio.
I actually tried to get him to tour the States.
Uh-huh.
But he said that people are too stupid now to understand his work, and I have to agree with that.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people, I don't know. I think again, you're being a little bit of a little snooty here with your attitude towards people, just, you know, and their musical taste. I mean, not everybody has had the head start that you've had.
Hey, well, you know, you asked why I was listening to your station.
Uh-huh.
Well, recently, after about 10 years of not listening to any, basically any guitar-based music, any what you would call rock music, just by chance, I flipped on the radio.
Okay.
To get to a talk station that I often listen to. My girlfriend must have changed the setting on the radio, and it was on a current rock and roll station. And I heard something that took me back to when I was 10 years old, going to that first Stooges show that I saw, MC5 show.
Uh-huh.
I was taken back. I was transported by the energy and the urgency of this performer. Oh, my God, this voice. I would go so far as to say he was the voice of the 90s, and his voice continues to just go further out there, blowing minds. I think you know who we're talking about, and I would love to hear one of those songs.
What do you want to hear? Like Lithium or Drain You or, you know, Heart-Shaped Box we could play? I mean, that's...
What are those songs?
I mean, those are song Nirvana songs.
Oh, I'm not talking about Nirvana. I'm talking about Fred Durst.
Wait a minute. You're talking about what, a voice of a generation?
Well, yeah, I mean,
for the 90s?
Yes.
Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
Oh, you are sorely mistaken. I was sure you were talking about Kurt Cobain and Nirvana.
Oh, no. I mean, that's, hate to say it, more ear candy.
Uh-huh.
Play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh, my God. I mean, they...
Wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show. All right, okay. All right, well, let's forget about him. How about something from Take Off Your Pants and Jacket?
What is that?
That's the new Blink 182 album.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You with this great pedigree of having seen the Stooges and MC5 with your own eyes when you were a kid.
Right.
You're telling me that now Blink 182 is good to you?
Hey.
I mean, that is like the uncoolest.
What?
Yeah, it's
you,
not, I mean,
you've
got to
be kidding
is,
me.
Yeah, well, I'm not kidding you. That's like the lamest music going.
Have you heard the stuff?
Blink 182?
Yeah,
I have. Like what?
Those guys are rendering the Ramones forgotten and useless as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's like the Ramones, but like times 40, and they can play.
Oh, my God.
They got great stuff, and those kind of ballady songs. Oh, my God.
I mean, they have no... They're just like an eighth-rate Green Day.
Well, you don't like Green Day either.
Not particularly,
I'll never forget. You know, I discovered them after the, you know, pretty far after the fact. And, man, I was transported back to CB's when I heard that song.
What song?
That song, Do You Have the Time.
Do You Have the Time? Oh, okay, you mean the, I think it's called,
I don't know what it's called.
I don't know what it's called either.
Oh, my God, those guys are, that's like seeing the Dead Boys. I got the same vibe.
From Green Day.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Hey, how about you got any Slipknot there?
No. This is shocking. I mean, I don't have any Slipknot here. And that's... You like Slipknot?
Slipknot is to me the Alice Cooper Band on steroids.
I mean, that is just unlistenable to me, Slipknot.
Oh, son, you need to go back to school big time. I mean, I would be willing to take you aside and just give you a little bit of my knowledge. How about Counting Crows?
No! How did you end up with these tastes?
These guys are like the bands that I loved when I was young, but the records sound better and they play better. Counting Crows are like the band or the Burrito Brothers, but they can actually play and sing.
Oh, the Burrito Brothers couldn't sing or play?
The quality of the recordings was so weak. And how about Creed? Oh, my gosh.
This is just insane. What happened to your ears?
What do you mean? Oh, I think I've got fresh ears. I mean, after listening to those air mixes for 10 years.
I think these air mixes have ruined any conception of what you think rock music is.
Oh, I know what rock music is. I experienced it the first time, and I'm experiencing its renaissance right now.
Uh-huh. With what? So what other bands do you like?
I've liked what Matchbox 20 I've heard.
Oh, God.
It's like the Velvets.
That's like the Velvets?
Yeah.
The Velvet what? Because it couldn't be the Velvet Underground. Oh, this from the guy who edited a fanzine named after one of the harshest Velvet Underground songs.
I still love that stuff, but I love where it's being taken.
I think there is no connection between the Velvet Underground and Matchbox 20.
Oh, come on, son.
You are completely delusional.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
I've got to say that I was legitimately impressed with you when you were telling me about all the stuff that you saw and heard. I mean, and I think anybody would be, but you are a sad sack right now.
No, here's what you need.
What?
You need to listen with fresh ears to your local Edge station.
To my local Edge station?
Yeah.
What, like K-Rock?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's where the real underground is now.
Okay, so I should listen and check out some...
And I want you to write a report for me.
To what?
I want you to write a report for me.
On what?
On just what you hear and admitting that this is the best music has been since the early 70s, late 60s.
Now, how much are you going to pay me to write this report?
Oh, you should pay me because you will be learning a great deal.
By writing a report?
By listening. You need to listen and shut up.
I need to listen and shut up.
Yes.
I think you need to get your ears checked. Too many sound sculptures or whatever it was have completely thrown your judgment into the toilet.
You're pathetic.
Oh, I'm pathetic.
Go play some more Rolling Stones. Hey, why don't you play something from Bridges to Babylon?
No, see, I wouldn't play that because that's a lousy album.
Oh, you really don't know, and I'm feeling very, very sorry for you, son.
Well, trust me, the feeling is completely mutual.
Yeah, you need to go away, okay?
I need to go away.
Look,
hey, guess what? The feeling is still mutual.
Well, look, I'm going to roll on up the dial, okay, and listen to some real stuff, okay?
Hey, more power to you.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Get some Slipknot, okay?
All right, and do yourself a favor. Go get your ears checked.
You're full of it.
I'm full. Well, good night to you.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'll be back to take you to school one more time.
All right.
Okay, sweet dreams, princess.
Sweet dreams to you. Rough night. Rough night with the phones.